This week on the show, we discuss the MLB offseason, or lack thereof, with Jared Diamond of the Wall Street Journal. Some thoughts on the Red Sox as they kick off spring training, and the hottest takes on Twitter. All that and more coming up. Calling It starts right now. Welcome into Calling It. February 19th, the dog days of winter. Alex Barth, Alex Lebowitz with you. We are powered by CLNS Media. And the story today, the story this week, the NBA's off for the All-Star game. The NHL's kind of dragging along. The wait continues on the MLB. Just anything, any sign of life.
Yeah, we're waiting in Boston. I know John Henry and Tom Warner on Monday spoke to the media, and they seem like they're content. Most Red Sox fans aren't, but I think something's going to break this week.
We're now joined on the phone by Jared Diamond. He covers baseball for the Wall Street Journal, their national MLB writer. And Jared, as your offseason comes to an end here, it truly must have been an offseason for you. Do you ever remember being having this lack of news break during the winter for baseball?
It was a strange winter, no doubt about it. In some ways, it feels like the winter is still going on because there's still really good players that are unsigned. You know, Jake Arrieta is not on a baseball team right now with spring training here. Neither is JD Martinez. It's shocking. And in some ways, while there haven't been a lot of moves, it's been very busy trying to understand what's going on. That alone is almost a bigger story than the typical sort of rash of transactions. Trying to figure out why transactions aren't happening is a huge story that's going to impact baseball potentially for years to come.
How much do you buy into the theory that it's the players, it's Scott Boras trying to drive up the price of contracts?
Very little. It'll take a lot for me to ever blame the players for this situation. In a way, I do believe the players signed a bad collective bargaining agreement before last season. I think a lot of people who follow baseball closely and understand labor and business could have told you this the moment that deal was signed last winter. I said right at the time, this is a bad deal for the players. I couldn't have predicted just how quickly things were going to disintegrate for them, but certainly they signed a bad deal. They got a lot of lifestyle improvements, more space on buses, more off days, the schedule's better for them. But the reality is they made a lot of economic concessions that have come back to hurt them, and you couple that with an increasingly smart group of front offices with a lot fewer sort of rogue renegade owners that are willing just to break the bank. This competitive balance tax, the luxury tax being what it is, it all adds up to teams not having an incentive to spend on big free agents, not wanting to, not viewing it as beneficial to them. And that's where we are. And it is a problem because I look around the league and I see 10, 12 teams that you could say are actively not trying to compete in 2018. And I know they're rebuilding for the future, but I don't think it's good for baseball when a third of the league is basically saying we're looking for the future and we're not valuing the present.
How much would you put that on Rob Manfred, and what grade would you give him coming into his third year as the commissioner in the MLB?
Rob Manfred is taking advantage of a system that favors him and the owner. Rob Manfred answers to the owner. And for all the talks of collusion, and it's not collusion, or it's very unlikely that it's collusion. What it is a system that benefits the owners, that benefits Rob Manfred's interests, that he's taking advantage of. And I don't blame him for that necessarily. That's the deal. And he's using the system, and so are these owners. Look, I do agree with the pace of play initiatives. I know this is something that is a hot topic for a lot of fans. They really dislike it. I'm not one of those people. I think baseball needs these initiatives. I actually think they could have gone even farther than some of the rules that were announced today. So, in general, I think Rob Manfred is a bulldog negotiator. They fleece the players in some ways, and the players have a lot of work to do between now and the next CBA negotiation after the 2021 season.
Speaking of those pace of play initiatives that came out today, the big one is that they will limit mound visits, that includes just the catcher, no manager, to six per game. And They said that they're not going to have a pitch clock because they're going to give a player the players the chance to speed up the game without the need of a clock, basically have them do it on their own terms. Are these rules enough to take away the need for a pitch clock?
I am in favor of a pitch clock. I know as a baseball fan, someone who loves baseball more than anyone in the world, this comes as a huge shock to people because most hardcore baseball fans seem to think the pitch clock is the death of baseball. I do not feel that way. I wish that they had gone to that length. Unfortunately, for a lot of reasons, Rob Manfred didn't do it. And frankly, I don't necessarily blame him given the current relationship, the relations between the league and the union. Rob Manfred had hoped to come to an agreement with the union on these rules. They were unable to, which meant Rob Manfred had to impose them unilaterally. And I think he's trying to sort of maintain relations with the union and not have things really fall apart more than they already have. So let's see how these work. Let's see what happens now. This is just the beginning. If they're successful, there'll be no need for a pitch clock. I personally think that a pitch clock is inevitable at some point. Not this year, but soon. I do think it's coming. I just don't think this is going to do enough.
So I want to go back to the free agency problems in the MLB this year. Obviously, in Boston, J.D. Martinez is the number one guy the Red Sox are going after. Do you think that deal will get done soon? And do you expect these guys to hold out through spring training, not only J.D. Martinez, but guys like Jake Arrieta?
I don't see it. I think eventually some of these guys are going to have to sign. I just don't think it behooves them to hold out for all of spring training. It doesn't really make much sense to me. I understand that J.D. Martinez's market hasn't developed the way he had hoped. Neither has Jake Arrieta's, but there have been some positive signs of late, right? The Eric Hosmer deal to San Diego, that was a monster contract, $144 million. You saw Yu Darvish get $126. So things are happening, and I expect Martinez and Arrieta to sign soon, hopefully for the big money they believe they should get.
Where do you expect Arrieta to land?
Not sure where he is going to end up. I can tell you some teams that should be spending on him. If I'm the Milwaukee Brewers, mm-hmm. I'd pay him immediately. Minnesota Twins are another team that should be interested in signing him. But the reality is the small market teams continue to say they can't afford guys like Jake Arrieta. The big market teams, some of them don't necessarily have a need for Jake Arrieta. They don't want to go over the luxury tax. So I really don't know. I still think Milwaukee has a chance to pony up for him. They absolutely should. Let's see what happens. If I'm a Brewers fan, I'd be pounding the pavement trying to get my owner to agree to sign Jake Arrieta for big money.
So as quiet as everything's been, you know, you look back and it's always the talk this time of year, off-season winners, off-season losers. Given how little happened, who's your winner of this MLB offseason so far?
Yeah, after like what the Yankees did, bringing in Giancarlo Stanton, that's certainly a huge move that benefits them. It propels them to be the favorites in the AL East. You have to love what Houston did. That's an example of the rich getting richer for sure, picking up Garrett Cole and some of the other moves they made. And look, there's some other teams that have done some nice smaller moves. Milwaukee's had a pretty good offseason with the signing of Lorenzo Cain and the trade for Christian Yelich. I don't necessarily think it's enough. The Rockies, Colorado did some nice things with their bullpen, but no move was bigger than the Giancarlo Stanton trade. That was the acquisition that I think would have the biggest impact for sure of any move made this winter so far.
And again, we're talking to Jared Diamond of the Wall Street Journal. And obviously that's the biggest move with the lack of names being traded. And the guy who was involved is Stanton. Is there anything that can happen? And there's been some talk that there'll be some race to the finish this offseason. After months and months of nothing, teams are going to start an arms race before the season begins. Is there any move maybe people aren't looking at, something that could rival that in terms of a bombshell MLB transaction before we get to opening day?
It's very rare that major trades happen in spring training. I know this is not a normal spring training, but I wouldn't expect any monster trades. We know the free agents out there. They will sign, like I said. They will eventually. I don't see any of them holding out into the season. So the biggest moves are going to be J.D. Martinez. That's a big move. The guy hit 45 home runs last year. Whoever picks him up, whether it's Boston, Arizona, or some unknown third team that jumps in, that immediately helps the team dramatically. This guy's a monster. So It'll happen. Just a matter of when.
How confident are you that Stanton is going to transition to that New York market smoothly coming from a place like Miami?
Look, big players who switch teams in a high-profile move, they sometimes struggle a bit in their first year. It wouldn't be a shock. He certainly wouldn't be the first big-name player to go to another team and struggle in that first year. But I wouldn't expect a dramatic decline from Giancarlo Stanton. If he stays healthy, he's a monster. He's the kind of hitter that could hit 45 to 50 home runs a year if he's healthy. The question with him is always, will he stay healthy? In the past, he has not been able to. Last season he did, and he had 59 home runs. So I have no concerns about him mentally being able to handle the new team. It's just, is he going to be able to stay healthy to play in the game necessary? And hopefully he does. It's good for baseball when he's on the field.
And before we let you go here, Jared, I know you're a Mets guy. I know you're partial to the Mets. We have some loyal Mets fan listeners. Did they do enough to kind of climb out of the basement this winter?
I like what they did. The Mets had a nice winter. They're definitely, to me, better than they were last year. They probably were going to be better than they were last year anyway, just because they have to be a little healthier than they were last year, right? I would hope so for their sake. I don't necessarily view them, though, as a certain, you know, wild card favorite or contender. I think they're in that mix. They still need some things to go right. I would have liked, if I were a Mets fan, I would have liked them go get Lance Lynn or Alex Cobb instead of Jason Vargas. I think that would have provided better depth in that rotation. But I think the Mets are right in that group of wild card possibilities. And if things go right, I think they'll be in the hunt.
He is Jared Diamond. You can read his work in the Wall Street Journal. You can follow him on Twitter at Jared Diamond. Jared, thanks for taking the time and joining us today.
Thank you.
Calling It is brought to you by American Broadcast Coaches, training the next generation of media talent and communicators. For more information, check out AmericanBroadcastCoaches.com.
Welcome back to Calling It. Thanks to Jared for joining us. Alex Barth and Alex Lebowitz with you. We are powered by CLNS Media. You can check them out on their new website, clnsmedia.com. They will have full Red Sox coverage as we kind of start to turn that way. Lebowitz, you got the Red Sox sweatshirt going today. You've been wearing Patriots gear for the last 4 or 5 weeks. So
have I?
I think so, yeah. So time to brush that, brush the dust off of that one, get it out. So we'll do a little Red Sox smorgasbord here, just kind of some built-up thoughts from the last couple of weeks we haven't been able to get to with the Celtics and Bruins playing so well and obviously all the Patriots headlines. Let's start with free agency because we just talked about that. You're a big J.D. Martinez guy, right? You think he is the fix?
No, not necessarily.
No?
I think he'd be a decent signing. My only worry with signing him is what do you do in the outfield? Who's getting more time? Who's getting less time? It seems like JBJ would be the odd man out. But you'd have a four-man platoon. Obviously, a designated hitter is a spot that you can go to as well. But I think there'd be concerns in you know, configuring that lineup if you do bring in J.D. Martinez. He's still a good bat. I wouldn't mind him on the team for the right price. But I think it does leave some unanswered questions in regards to what you do with that lineup.
Yeah, I think they're trying to sign the best guy available.
Mm-hmm.
In most years, that's a good plan for a big market team. I just think part of the reason we didn't talk about it with Jared, I meant to bring it up. Part of the reason free agency has been so slow this year is that it's just not that good of a free agency class. I know Jake Arrieta is a great player, but he's 30. And J.D. Martinez is good. He hit 45 home runs last year, but he hadn't done much before last year. He's also 30. Eric Hosmer is a guy who'd given very empty numbers, and I know he just got the big deal, but I'm just worried the Red Sox need a power bat at a time when there really aren't many available. And they're taking the best power bat that's out there, but that's very subjective. Because, for instance, next year, I don't even think J.D. Martinez is a top five power bat in free agency. Right? So there are issues of how he fits on the team. There are better ways to address this need next year. I just feel like the Red Sox are grasping at straws here. I would rather them wait a year, address other needs now, because believe it or not, they do have other needs, and then go get the power bat next year. I wanted to see them spend money on a starting pitcher this year. I thought Arrieta made perfect sense. I've said that before on the show, but I just want to say it again. I think that's the kind of guy they need to go after. An experienced, established pitcher with postseason history.
The problem with the Red Sox is not lack of talent. It's underperformance. So I look at that lineup, and I think you can bring another guy in, but I don't think you need to. All you need is guys to play as well as
right.
they can.
Well,
and that's been the thing with the Red Sox all along.
With the lineup underperformance, yes. I still don't think they have a five-man rotation for opening day.
I disagree. I think it's the same thing up and down, and this goes
right,
back to the leadership.
Let's do this again. Chris Sale, sure. David Price, fine. You want to put him in the rotation opening day? I'll give you David Price.
Mm-hmm.
You have Pomerantz, who
was an all-star caliber
was an all-star
guy last
year,
and he was an all-star but 2 years ago.
Look at what happened when Rick Porcello won the Cy Young. Success last year doesn't mean success this year, but
that's
sure,
true.
Sure, Drew Pomerantz is a decent third starter. Porcello is a total wild card. So you've got one ace for sure. Chris Sale's amazing. Mm-hmm. You've got one guy who may be a head case. You've got another guy who's probably going to be average. All right, you have an average pitcher. You have a total wild card in Porcello. And then who's your fifth for opening day? Eduardo Rodriguez apparently is not going to be back and ready. Steven Wright may be suspended. So you're looking at anywhere from Brian Johnson is probably your best option to Hector Velazquez.
But, okay, we've seen what these guys are capable of. We've seen Rick Porcello win a Cy Young. He can be dominant. We've seen Drew Pomerantz
but
go
more,
to an All-Star
more
game.
Often than not, he isn't.
But all he has to do is be in between the dominant Rick Porcello and the crappy one. Because right now, it's two extremes. He's not consistent. And that's been the theme with the Red Sox, as I just said. So all you need, guys, is to perform as good as well as they are capable of performing. And we haven't gotten that. Last year, they won 93 games.
But why is this year different?
You completely switched up management. So it's about being cautiously optimistic in Alex Cora. And I don't know how he's going to do. No one does. But if he can you know, light a spark under these guys' asses, then maybe the Red Sox can be a good team. And maybe they win 95 games and win the AL East even. Who knows? They have talent. That's not the problem. It's leadership. And that's been what's been spouted out this entire spring training since they've been there. Maybe a guy like Alex Cora, who's a first-time manager, he's 42, he's young, can speak to these guys and motivate them properly. John Porcello couldn't motivate anyone. Or not John Porcello. I'm getting my names. John Farrell couldn't motivate anyone. John Farrell was a bum when it came to that. He was a stale personality. He was wordy with the media. And he was good with a group of guys in 2013 that had a large veteran presence. They led themselves. John Farrell didn't lead them. You can't have that guy with this roster.
I just think, look how big of a signing Doug Fister was last year. And everybody mm-hmm. kind of laughed about it when it happened. And they were really beat up in the rotation. It was, okay, he'll get us through April, maybe May, and then whatever. He goes down to Pawtucket. And he ended up, look, he wasn't a great pitcher by any means, but he ate up a lot of innings. He did pitch well in a couple big games. He did
September,
have that big game
amazing.
Experience. Right. They don't have that guy right now, because I'm not sure that guy's Brian Johnson, Hector Velazquez. Who's the guy I found when we were doing research? Butfee or something?
Buttery.
Yeah. It was like Ty Buttery. Right. I'm not sure. And maybe, look, Doug Fister was signed, what, 2-3 weeks into the season last year?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they do wait to make that signing, and that's okay. But they do need that guy. This rotation is not complete yet, because I don't trust Eduardo Rodriguez to make more than 10 or 15 starts. Steven Wright is a knuckleballer, so you have no idea what the hell you're going to get from him. As good as he's been in the past, he's coming off a major injury, probably going to be suspended, and the knuckleball issue. And then, yeah, Porcello and Price are total wild cards. I know they can pitch well, but they haven't. So I still think they – and look, Jake Arrieta is kind of an extreme example, but I still think they need another arm, another experienced veteran major league arm.
They could use another arm, but guess what? You get one good arm on that rotation on top of what they have. If the other four guys or three of those other four guys underperformed, you're dealing with the same thing. You're
right.
Dealing with the same exact thing.
I'm just – it's they have to – I haven't seen anything that proves to me that they can be better because
– They have been better, though. Doesn't that prove that to you?
But with I guess Pomerantz did have some dominant times in a Red Sox.
Price in the bullpen in the playoffs, it doesn't give you a glimmer.
I'm all for putting Price in the bullpen, but I think he would be great in the bullpen. I think he'd be the perfect eighth inning guy for Kimbrel, but I'm the only one in that ship. I don't want him in the starting rotation. I want him in the bullpen, but I'm not even going to offer that out because I say that, I get laughed at.
Well, it's an expensive reliever. That's what it is.
You're stuck with him. You might as well – look, you got to pay him one way or the other.
You got to get the best out of him.
Right, get the best out of him. That's your eighth inning guy.
They don't have the depth for that, and that goes back to your argument of bringing in another guy. Because I don't think the fifth starter matters all that much. Just give me a guy who has under a 4-5 ERA.
Look how important Doug Fister was.
Yeah, when the other guys suck, he's important. When the other guys suck, your fifth starter might be important. But
plan for the worst, hope for the best. You need to assume that Eduardo Rodriguez is going to give you 15 starts. You can't plan on him giving you any more than that because it's unrealistic, honestly, to think that. You can't plan on Rick Porcello going out and winning a Cy Young. You can't plan on that. Not Clay Buchholz, please God, not Clay Buchholz, but a guy like that, a guy who has been around the major leagues, who has shown flashes, give me that guy, just not that one specific guy because the memories suck. I know you have more to say about the rotation. We got 5 weeks of spring training. Mm-hmm. Real quick, because we got to wrap this segment up soon. Dave Dombrowski has been speaking to the media recently down at the picnic tables in Fort Myers. I heard him say the phrase, I don't know, or some form of it, about 7 times in a minute-long clip, which was very frustrating. And I know John Henry spoke today, Monday, when we're recording this. Some of the other upper management spoke today. I want to let you go off on that.
There's one quote from Tom Warner, and he was addressing Betts and Bogarts, talking about a lack of leadership. And he said, and they mentioned how they wanted to have fun playing, and they didn't really have a lot of fun. And Tom Warner said something along the lines of, "I'd rather win 93 wins and have 93 wins and win the division than win 75 games and have fun." And it's clear that they're completely missing the point. And winning the division is all that matters, because that's been brought up a ton by people on that team in that organization. They won 93 games last year, and they still underperformed. 93 win season. Underperforming the entire way. We mentioned it. Their starting pitching sucked. Their lineup sucked. No power. Everyone had a career low pretty much in a lot of statistical categories. They're better than that. And the fact that Tom Warner wanted to make excuses and say, oh, we won the the AL East 2 years in a row, it's dumb. And it proves what's wrong with ownership. And I think that we're going to consistently deal with these problems with the Red Sox as long as Tom Warner and John Henry are at the helm. It's really pathetic. And as someone who's rooted for this team since I was 5 years old, it sucks seeing what's happened. And they won 3 World Series. That's great. But they can be better. That's the point.
It goes back to, you know, what I said the day after Stanton got traded to the Yankees. They want to be in the green.
Yeah.
They're the Cincinnati Bengals. As long as they're winning enough games, they don't care about winning championships. And you can win 93. And I think you touched on it before, and I think we're in for it this year. You can win 93 games, but from a fan perspective, it can be a very frustrating 93 games, right?
Yeah.
They won the division last year, but based on the way fans were acting around that team, you wouldn't know it. I think we're in for another 90-win season, but it's going to be a very frustrating 90-win season.
If they win only 90 games, then...
In the 90s, but...
It's 93 games to win, and they're the second team in the AL East, fans are going to start losing even more interest than they already
have. I will say this. 93 wins doesn't win you the division this year. Are going to flirt with 100, if not be over.
96 to 99.
All right. So that's most of our Red Sox talk. On the other side, we'll get into the Red Sox, the NBA All-Star break, some more of it.
Hot takes.
Twitter's Hottest Takes, the second Twitter's Hottest Takes segment on the Call in the Podcast. Don't miss it.
Calling It is brought to you by American Broadcast Coaches, training the next generation of media talent and communicators. For more information, check out AmericanBroadcastCoaches.com.
Nobody likes you when you're 23, right? That's how the song goes.
That's that. I've never related to it more than today.
Happy 23rd birthday to you, by the way, and kudos to you for doing the show today, coming in and days off, right?
On President's Day of all days, too.
Oh, I mean, it's just such an important holiday.
It really is. George Washington, important guy. Fun fact for you. You know, his mother went into labor with him on February 11th, but he was born on February 22nd.
Cool. He's a determined guy, I guess you could say.
No, the reason's because 1732 is when they figured out the leap year. So they added 11 days. There was no one born between the 11th and the 22nd
really?
In that year. Yeah,
that's a good history. Did you know that of the 59 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, 36 did so standing?
Really?
I think those are the numbers.
Did you know
something
that Franklin Pierce was once arrested while he was serving his presidency for running over a woman with his horse?
Did you know Franklin Pierce did not attend Franklin Pierce University?
I imagine.
You would be surprised. Some people don't know that.
I would not trust him as the president of the United States if he did. Nothing against Franklin Pierce.
Well, I mean, it would be impressive. The college is named after you before you go there.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, that's as much political talk as we'll get into on the show.
Let's
flip it over to Twitter right now. We put out the bat signal this morning. We wanted the hottest takes on Twitter on your Monday morning. We'll go through some of our favorites here. We'll start with a couple of our own. Mine is that this isn't really a hot take. It's just something that hasn't been talked about. I'm going to jump the gun a little on the NFL draft here. I was checking some stuff out this weekend. So it's the Browns at one, and oddly enough, four. You have the Giants at two. The Colts are sitting there at three. We think the Colts don't need a quarterback. If they take a quarterback, it means Andrew Luck's career is over. I think the Colts are going to trade out of the third pick of the draft, and that's going to set the stage for the entire draft. Mm-hmm. I don't know who they're going to trade with. I would assume it's going to be somebody trading up to take a quarterback, but my take today is that the Colts will trade the third pick in the NFL draft. Book it.
Well, that would be a smart decision. You look at the deals that the teams like the Rams have made and the Browns getting that fourth pick to trade up, although the Rams were on the bad end of that, weren't they? Anyway, you can trade down five spots and get another second or third round pick on top of that. And if you're not in the market for a quarterback, why wouldn't you do it? Stock up on assets, try to get more young talent, and right now the Colts obviously are in desperate need of it.
All right, what's yours?
Mine is that, and I don't know if I fully stand behind this. This is more of a hot take for the sake of having a hot take. Just want to put that disclaimer out there. David Price will bounce back here.
Wow.
I think it's possible. He's got a lot to prove. Obviously, you said he opted into the option.
I think so. Yeah,
I don't know if he did.
Maybe not.
I don't think he did. So
either way, it's a proven season for him.
It is. So he's going to bust his ass, or he's going to try to. And I think, given the way he ended the season last year in the ALDS, coming out of the bullpen and doing what he did, playing so effectively, I could see him coming back this year and being a really good pitcher. And the reality is, he hasn't been that bad. He's just underperformed for what he's getting paid. So he can be a 17-21-1 guy. I think that's a realistic possibility.
I mean, he can be, but look, everybody knows how I feel about David Price. Yeah. We didn't talk about this in the last segment. Tyler Thornburg, Carson Smith, we're still waiting for them to come back from injury. I'm still not sure the Red Sox have a setup guy.
Yeah.
So, again, you're paying him that much money, get the most value out of him. I don't he was pretty good at the end of last year. I still don't totally trust him. I still think David Price gives them the most bang for the buck in the bullpen, but for depth reasons, they need him in the starting rotation. Look, we'll see. I also think he said last year with the elbow thing, I'm probably going to need surgery eventually. Mm-hmm. What if he has a couple bad starts, decides he doesn't want to deal with all the criticism, and says, I'm going to get Tommy John now?
That would be – I mean, I think if that was the case, and if the Red Sox thought that was a possibility, Jake Arrieta would be someone that they would be pursuing right now, right? Don't you think that would give them incentive to go after a guy like that?
You think so, but I don't know if they're going to spend that much money on just Tommy John insurance.
Yeah, I guess.
But I'm hesitant about Price making it through the full season. Not necessarily as much as Eduardo Rodriguez, but last year he had elbow problems and then they just kind of went away. He never had surgery. He never really had anything get fixed.
They compared to Nolan Ryan. The same thing happened to him.
But I just don't – I don't totally – it's not a him thing. I don't totally trust that. My elbow hurts and then it doesn't. I think something somewhere needs to be fixed. Whether it's this season or not, we'll see. All right, let's move on to the hot takes of Twitter themselves. Start with Dan Budick, at Dan Budick. Tim Tebow will appear in a major league game. We talked to Jared Diamond earlier on the show about the Mets. I'm going to take this to another level here, and Dan or anybody else, tweet this at us if you're listening. Not just Tim Tebow playing in a major league game. Who plays more MLB games for the Mets in the next 3 years, Tim Tebow or David Wright?
Oh, that's tough. I think David Wright by a slim margin, because if Tim Tebow plays in the MLB, it's going to be in September, and he'll come in maybe double digit games. I don't think he's going to be a legitimate contributor. I think it's more of a ticket seller than anything.
But yeah, think about it.
Yeah, just because I think David Wright is like a hair away from breaking his back and being out of baseball for good. So that's the only reason I have any hesitancy towards it.
I think Tim Tebow, if the Mets are out of it, is absolutely a possible call up in September because he'll sell tickets. You know that for sure. All right, so thanks to Dan for that. Nick Mecca at NMEX13. Despite their historic season, the Vegas Golden Knights will not win the Stanley Cup this year. Yeah?
Yeah, I don't think that's too hot.
The hot take is that, no, we actually have a less hot take coming, so I'll save that. But look, they're the best team in the Western Conference right now. So there is some reason to think they could win it. And I do think they could legitimately come out of the West. I don't think they're going to compete with the Bruins or the Lightning, though.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I think that there'll be a little bit of a fade there. And there's also, you know, top team in each conference. A lot of times they don't make it to even their conference final. So we'll wait and see. Hockey's a weird sport. They could. You get hot at the right time. Yeah, you definitely could make it that far. But they're not my pick right now.
This is, I think, the one thing that benefits them going for it. I know Nick said they didn't. We're both disproving him. But people wondered, oh, can hockey catch on in Vegas? Can it catch on in the desert? And mm-hmm. I doubted that a lot. I said that team will probably move in 5 years. And look, maybe it's a first-year thing and it will fade, but at least this year, they have the best home record in hockey.
Yeah.
I think it's like 22-6 or something at home. They're very good. If they get home ice throughout the playoffs, they absolutely can make a run. Those fans have showed up, and they've showed up in droves. Like, good for the city of Las Vegas for embracing that team because they showed pretty much the rest of the country, the rest of the hockey world. They proved everybody wrong with that.
Although home ice in hockey, it's not as important as other sports. So
in Vegas, though, there's a lot of temptations in Vegas.
That's true. That is true.
And, you know, a noisy crowd can affect that. All right. This one from Jesse Feldman at JS Feldman 2. Anthony Davis will never play a game for the Boston Celtics.
I hope not.
That's not a hot take. He's just trying to ruin our morning.
He is. I don't want him to, though, because you'd have to give up a lot of the young guys you have. You'd have to give up multiple young guys. I don't want to part ways with a guy like Tatum. I'd be willing to part ways with Jaylen Brown if you get Anthony Davis. But for what they'd have to trade for him and for how much money they'd have to give up, just do what you're doing because it's working right now and they have their young core all set. There's no need to bring in an Anthony Davis. It'd be great. He's one of the best players in the NBA. You don't need him, though.
That's a top five player in the league. I still want him here. I do. Look, you're not trading Tatum, but if you can give up like Brown and a couple first-round picks, I'd do it. He's just so good. And on the anniversary of the DeMarcus Cousins trade, I remember tweeting last year that the Celtics could have gotten DeMarcus Cousins, but Danny didn't want him, which was scary. And Danny's kind of righted the ship since then. He was able to go out and get another top 10 talent in Kyrie Irving, and you know, it makes you feel better about it. But I still think that guy changes everything for the better. I don't know how adding Anthony Davis makes your team worse, right? Because you're not going to trade Kyrie Irving, and you're not going to trade Gordon Hayward, and you're probably not going to trade Jason Tatum. I'm fine giving up any combination of the remaining players or picks, and I think if you put those four together, Irving, Hayward, Tatum, and Davis, you're going to have Al Horford too.
So what would it take if you can't trade those three? So Brown and the pick are obviously
Brown, Rozier, Smart, picks, whatever. You know, I don't know if that would necessarily get it done, but I'm on board for it.
I think if you leave those guys out of it, you're not getting it done. I think you'd have
to. There's that too. And then we got one more late arriver, a throwback Thursday on a hot take Monday. This is from Steve Altieri at SaltySteve13 on Twitter. If Ted Williams doesn't spend the majority or all of five seasons in World War II in Korea, he would have broken Babe Ruth's home run record.
So let's look at this, because he's close to 600.
Did he serve in World War II, first off? Because I thought he only served in Korea.
I think it was both. I think it was – or no, you know what? I think it was 47 to 52. He didn't – no, 42 to 46. So it was World War
II. So he was at the tail end of World War II. Okay.
Yeah, so he finished his career with 521 home runs. So you have 5 years. Say he averaged 40 home runs in those 5 years. Yeah, he would have broken Babe Ruth's record. He would have had seven.
I think that's fair to say, but I think you could take that with some other players too. Not necessarily with the home run record, but yeah, a lot. If you didn't have that break in play, you would have a lot. The record books would look very different.
Yeah, I think that he's the one guy who really changes it though, because he was in the middle of his prime.
Who's the pitcher too?
In the 40s?
Yeah. There's a pitcher. I forget the name. There's a pitcher, too. Let me ask you. You said what, 40 a year over 6 years?
40 a year over those five seasons.
Five seasons?
Would it came out to 721.
So he's right. So Bonds still passes him.
Yeah, but do we count that?
May still passes him, too.
You mean Aaron?
Aaron, sorry.
Aaron passes him. So Aaron would obviously pass him, but it would have been Ted Williams as the home run king for the next 20 years or the next 10, 15 years.
I think there's a very legitimate beef to be made of that. But you could also say if the MLB didn't go on strike in 94, the Montreal Expos would still exist.
Yeah, maybe.
They would have won the World Series that year. It would have been an amazing World Series. It would have been Vlad Guerrero, Pedro Martinez in the Expos against Alex Rodriguez, Randy Johnson, and Ken Griffey Jr. and the Mariners. Think about what we were deprived of from that strike.
Oh, yeah. The 90s baseball was amazing. But you can bring up both hypotheticals. Both can be true.
They are. I'm just saying. If we're going to – some hypothetical fun on Monday.
We should commit an episode of that with the biggest what-ifs in sports. Because the what-if of Ted Williams playing those five seasons, that changes the way people perceive baseball's history, essentially, I think.
I'll just throw this out there, too. If Ted Williams plays those 5 years, the Red Sox win a World Series in that span.
Imagine.
That completely changes the way we look at things. Red Sox get money hungry a lot earlier. We don't get 04 and 07.
Butterfly effect, man. Ashton Kutcher, you know?
Interesting. All right, well, before we get too deep into a theological debate, that'll do it for us this week on the Callin' It Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, at Callin' It Podcast. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher. We can be found on the CLNS Media website, clnsmedia.com. You can follow them on Twitter, at CLNS Media. We will be back next week. More spring training talk. Celtics, Bruins, all of it. You watching college basketball this weekend?
Nope.
March Madness is going to be awesome. It's good. There is no favorite. There is no favorite. And Trae Young, I want to leave the show on this note on a Hot Take Monday. Trae Young, overrated. He's Alex Lovewitz. I'm Alex Barth. We'll talk to you next week. This has been the Callin' It Podcast, powered by CLNS.